All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host. Opening it up with, of course, the song that we normally open our program up with, No One Else by Gregory Stafford. And, you know, I want us to resume the discussion that we were having about dealing with the water crisis and what is being done in a different part of the world to address that issue. BBC is sharing some information with us about how we have one part of the country, and I'm not saying this is the only part of the country, but one that we're focusing on now in particular, working with the seawater and solar power for agriculture. And this is in a place, a part of the world that is really, really water drained. They are water challenged. They are water poor. Not saying they don't have any water, but man, I am saying they don't have enough. So that being the case, I definitely want you to share, stay with me. We gotta be aware of what's going on, because as I've shared with you before, the whole earth, including America the Beautiful, is running out of water that we need for the essence of life. Water for our crops. Water for our agriculture, our grass and our plants. And I know that might not seem like much, but think about how much we've been told about the benefits that we gain psychologically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, even physically, from being able to be outdoors in particular, enjoying green space, enjoying seeing that green grass, beautiful plants, flowers, great trees that just amaze us. If all that goes away because we no longer have water for them, see what I'm saying? So don't throw cold water on that. Don't dismiss that. Water that we need to cook our food. Think about the number of foods that we eat that require water for cooking. I mean, just a few, for instance. How about grits? When's the last time you ate grits without using water? When's the last time you ate oatmeal without using water? Or cream of wheat without using water? When's the last time you made gravy without using water? When's the last time you made mashed potatoes without using water? Those of you who, you know, are believers in the instant mashed potatoes, the powdered mashed potatoes, you just add water and do your thing. When's the last time you ate rice without using water? And on it goes. You know, we're not even talking about the foods that we buy off the shelves that already have water in them that we may not need to add water to once we get the food at home. But it needed the water. We just weren't the ones who put it there. What happens when all that water disappears? So I'm just saying, what if there comes a time when we need to take drastic steps, go to drastic measures, whatever that means, to preserve whatever water we have left on this earth to do what we need to do? And again, now, this is not really a situation wherein we can just say, well, you know what? There is a lot of oil in Iraq, so let's just go over there and take over their country and take over their oil. The whole earth, the entire world, all the nations are being challenged when it comes to having enough water that we can consume. You know, and that's just the water that we need to consume, that we need for our bodies. What about the water that we use to wash our clothes? I mean, how many of you really are okay smelling bad? Yeah. So we need water to wash our bodies. We need water to clean our mouths. We need water to wash our clothes. We need water to wash our dishes. And all of that is about water usage, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you would be upset if you couldn't use the water to clean your cars. Now, that said, are there various ways, methods that we can put into play that can help us conserve water use better than we do? We need to be looking at that. And that's part of the reason that I want you to stay with me as I talk with you about some of the steps being taken in another part of the world to help the people there with their water shortage. It's pretty serious. I want to say extreme. That's what I want to say. I want to say their water shortage is extreme, but we'll be looking at that. And so stay with me. Before we go further into that conversation, though, I want to ask you about this. How many of you have been on any of those rides at the amusement parks that have you put on those special 3D glasses so that as you ride the Spider-Man ride or whatever other ride you're on and you're wearing your 3D glasses, it almost looks like you are part of the scenery that you're seeing. It's like you're part of the action. You're right there. It's almost like they're about to hit you. It's not like you watch it on a television screen that might be 10 feet away from you, 15 feet away from you. But think about TV as it was, say, 15 years ago. It's not like that experience. It's like you are on a ride and you're seeing this fight scene. You're wearing your 3D glasses and it's almost like the people are right there fighting around you and they might get you caught up in it. What about the virtual reality glasses? Have any of you worn those? Now, you talk about being in the mix, in the midst. Oh, man, they say you put those virtual reality glasses on, and it's like you are there. And it can have an experience that makes it seem so real that it really trips people out. And of course, from what we're hearing, virtual reality is right around the corner from us, from all of us, no matter where we live, no matter where we work. And not everyone has positive things to say about virtual reality. As a matter of fact, we have some people, and when I say some people, I'm talking about people who have to do with national security issues, who are saying that virtual reality, well, I'll tell you about it later. Right now, let me share with you what Jason Silva is talking about with regards to virtual reality on Seeker.com. He's saying some things about virtual reality. I guess you could consider this a very, very, very brief look into the future, but it really has to do with perspective. I want you to hear his perspective on virtual reality and see if it matches your perspective on virtual reality.
You know, when I think about virtual reality, I think about humans as dreamers. I think about the human desire to actually aestheticize or italicize reality, to actually put mind and purpose and function and raison d'etre into the world, right? Like human beings take the raw material and inject it with purpose and signification. So it's reality rendered more real. It's the hyperreal. It's the mediated reality, the cultural reality in which we live. And so when I think about what's happening with virtual reality, I feel like this is the ultimate consummation. It's the moment where our gifts and desires and technology finally spills over so that we can actually live inside of our own minds. I think about fully immersive virtual environments where everything around us will be like the Matrix, a matrix of our own creation, shaped and molded by our dreams, right? The iconography of our youth, the pop culture references that inspire us, the songs that made us sing, all of these things will be the wallpaper of our minds. We'll window dress our phenomenological theater. We'll live inside of a pop song. This is virtual reality. It is reality enhanced. It is reality made better. That's what I think.
What do you think? Virtual reality. Reality made better. Reality made better. When you think about reality, what are some of the events, some of the situations, some of the circumstances that come to your mind? Let's just list a few. Let's just share this with each other. Just list a few of the kinds of circumstances, situations, etc., that have to do with reality. How about school? Being in the classroom is a reality. How about at home washing dishes? That's a reality. How about at home cutting the grass? That's a reality. How about being on your smartphone, Skyping or FaceTiming with a close friend? That's a reality. How about driving to a different state because you're heading off to a national park as part of your vacation? That's a reality. How about eating your favorite meal? I mean the whole meal, not just one of your favorite foods, but when it comes to meals, there's a certain combination of foods that you really, really, really like. It constitutes your favorite meal. And you are sitting down, savoring your favorite meal. That's a reality. How about being away on vacation at one of your favorite types of places to be? And when I say favorite types of places, if you love the mountains, you're in the mountain. If you love the beach, you're by the ocean side. And you are with your spouse, sharing sexual love with your spouse at your favorite type of place to be. That's a reality.